Welcome back to Heaving Bosoms, the podcast where two best friends recap romance novels while losing their minds over virginal dirty talk and gasping obnoxiously. HBs. If you're a regular listener, thank you for coming back to witness this stunning display of bonkers literature with us. If you're a new listener, welcome. This is a doozy of an episode to start with, and frankly, I applaud you. Yesterday, we gave you our recap on Not Today, Satan by Calliope Stewart, and today, we're wrapping up our Halloween week with an incredibly unexpected treat. Here's our recap of Bewitching the Boss by Jessa Kane. We have no time for banter.
No banter, Melody. The banter would just be about this book anyway, because Melody, what the fuck was Bewitching the Boss by Jessa Kane?
I thought this was going to be the tame choice.
I did too. So like I said yesterday / whatever you're listening, like I said that I had no idea what I was walking into. That's not entirely true, right? I did read the synopsis. The synopsis did not prepare me.
No. This book could have been called Stalking the Boss instead of Bewitching the Boss.
Or Being Stalked by the Boss.
Maybe that too. Or Kismet Stalkers.
Yep.
I don't know. That could have been a name.
I've never had a pair of characters that I read that I, by the end of the book, I was like, you were literally made for each other. Like, I know that in a fictional romance, in theory,
everybody's made for each other.
Everybody's
sure.
made for, nope. Not like this. This is a whole nother level.
No, but I am still a little bit worried because, like, this could definitely end up on, you know, a podcast. A true crime one at some point.
Oh, because I was about to be like, it is on a podcast.
No, but this couple.
What do you think we're doing here?
This couple could absolutely, one thing goes wrong. And they're on a true crime podcast of some sort. Either they murdered someone else. Yeah, I think that they might like murder someone together.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, here we go.
So we open up. We literally open up hot.
Yes.
So we literally, my first note is, looks like we have a 23-year-old youth lady stalker on our hands. She knows everything about this guy and has for the last 2 years.
Yeah. So she walks into this guy, Byron's office, and she's introducing herself because she is going to be the party planner for his Halloween party. And she's like, this isn't like random, though, because I have been putting leaflets in his mail and I've been doing an email campaign mm-hmm. only for him.
Mm-hmm. Also, HR has entered the chat immediately because she walks in. He looks up from his desk and he's like, oh, I wasn't expecting somebody like you. And she's like, what the fuck does that mean? And he's like, you're attractive.
Yeah, somebody who looks like you, he says.
Yeah.
And then so she's like, oh my God, he finds me attractive. And then she thinks to herself, if he knew who I am, who I really am, he would throw me right out of his office, maybe even call the police.
By the way, all he does is, he's like, what's your name? And she says, Jane. And then he's like, ah, Jane. And then she creams her pants.
Yes.
Immediately.
Hard. She floods the basement.
Oh, man. So apparently she is a party planner in Silicon Valley. And to be clear, listener, she's been a party planner for 1 year.
Yeah.
It did not say this in text, but there's no way she did not take this job in order to manufacture an opportunity to meet this man in person.
I completely believe that. Absolutely. Yes.
So he is a super hottie. He is 6'3". He's naturally muscular. He's naturally muscular, thick in places it should be illegal. And he clearly has no idea what to do with all that size and strength.
No.
It's untouched. untested.
He's a hot nerd.
The buttons of his dress shirt struggle to remain closed. Black hairs that match the unruly waves on his head peek out over the top. The fly of his slacks is strained.
Oh.
God bless his tailor for hugging those bulky male lines. He's doing the Lord's work. We've got a hot nerd listener.
Hot nerd. Yes. Absolutely.
My next note is, did she kill his sister?
Yes. That did she kill his sister is my next note. And it's under a passage that says, I'm so sorry. Yeah, because he tells her that he doesn't like parties. He doesn't want to do parties. And that was even before he vowed to not take pleasure in anything ever again, period, the end. Because his sister died 2 years ago. And after that, he was like, if she can't experience life, I can't experience life.
She's dead. I can never be happy again.
That includes, like, I swear to God, it includes like rich food and dessert. This man does not jack off.
This man lives on Soylent, hasn't come in 2 years.
Yeah.
He
lives, sleeps, and breathes his like transportation app
work
or whatever.
Uh-huh.
He's
which,
doing.
Like, to be clear, I want whatever. Like the app that they describe as a avid traveler, I want this.
Yeah. But anyway, it says, I'm so sorry. He has no idea how much I mean that. I mean it on a soul deep level that I'll never be able to express. But sorry can't bring a person back from the dead. Sorry can't undo the past. My sorry means nothing.
I was like, she killed his sister.
She killed his sister.
Oh my God, that's a hell of a thing to get over in 104 pages. So he's talking about, he's like, we don't do parties because I'm a sad, sad, broken man.
Yes.
I'm Sebastian by choice.
Yes.
And she's like, no, she stands up and she's like, you have to live.
She's
you
holding his hand over his desk.
You should live. And then she walks around his desk, leans against it in her short, short, provocative outfit.
Yeah.
And you can see her underwear. She can see her underwear.
She crosses her legs so that he gets a flash of underwear.
Uh-huh. And then we find out that she's been watching him through his windows for 2 years.
And it says, like, wow, it's so crazy to see him up close. I usually only see him through my binoculars.
Which, like, I was laughing so hard because I have the same reaction when it's a man stalker, right? I like that this was flipped.
You say,
right? I was
same.
Like, love a lady stalker.
Love it.
And then he's like, we have to keep it professional as he's manhandling his erection through his pants. He's like rubbing down.
Well, no, he's adjusting himself. He's not actively masturbating, but yes. Yes. But then she's like, yeah, we need to meet again so that we can get an idea of what this party.
She knows that he's touching his dick because she knows his masturbation tells because she watches him jerk off through her binoculars.
But wait, that makes no sense because he says that he doesn't orgasm later on. I was confused about this.
I think he literally has just been edging himself because he deserves it.
No.
I have a note in here. I'm like, oh my God, this man is not a 5-year boner, but he's a 2-year boner.
Oh my God, you think he's like getting himself to the brink and then going to sleep?
Not giving himself. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that is even darker than I thought.
Yeah, so she thinks to herself, she's like, I can't believe it. I'm going to see Byron DeWitt again. This attraction, this connection between... She is unhinged, listener, by
yes.
the way. In her point of view, she's like, this connection between us, it wasn't a figment of my imagination.
No.
It's real. But there's nothing I can do about it because of who I am, but I can help heal him.
Yes.
I can leave him whole, intact, able to embrace happiness. I'll do this for the man I love or die trying.
She's gonna heal him, listener, so that he can go fuck other bitches who later on she says she will kill.
I will kill her. So he, like an absolute ding-dong, he's like, okay, I had an erection for like 4 hours after she left yesterday. She's hired, but our next meeting can't be in the office because I can't do that again. It's going to be at my house.
Byron! Just tell the truth to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, Byron, mm-hmm. You can't be that obtuse.
Yeah. So she gets there. He's like peering at her out the window. He's like, I don't know why I feel this way about this woman. And yeah. She's like, she's again in a super provocative outfit. She bends over to get something out of her car and he can see her panties again.
And he can see the globes of her ass because she only wears thongs.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
And so then she gets inside and he's like, how weird. She's so like put together, but she has no jewelry on. I want to drape her in diamonds.
Yes. I need to adorn her.
And then he starts getting jealous already. He's like, if any other man touched her, if she got in the car of another man. And this was the point where I was like, I was so thrown off guard by how unhinged she was. I did not catch any of the signs that he was also going to be unhinged.
I did.
Not. It came out of fucking left field in like chapter 4 for me.
Oh my God. I did clock it because I was just like, you should be scared and you are like the opposite. You are horned up every time she gives you a tiny bit of information she should not have.
She should not have. So they end up deciding on a Halloween party. It's going to be a retro carnival theme with like carnival food and a designated taxi service.
And that is her idea, and she makes a point of it.
No, it's his idea.
No. But
yeah,
then,
I have a quote.
Okay. But then afterwards, she adds like a detail he hadn't thought of or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay. She's like, we can do it through your app.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So he has an insane erection. He is carefully, like an idiot.
Oh my God.
He's like, we're going to go in the kitchen where there's nothing soft. And
yes.
I'm like, people fucking.
There are flat surfaces everywhere in the kitchen. It's all flat surfaces.
With how gigormous you are, you could literally fuck her against a wall. There's literally no place that you could take her that you could not fuck her.
Yeah. Well, so then he's like, I don't enjoy anything. And that includes dancing. And she's like, well, let's dance right now. She comes around the island and he's like, wah, I can't dance. And she's like, why can't you dance with me? Jane steps closer, her soft cheek sliding against mine. Because of your big, bad erection.
So now she's like, they're like slowly like moseying around the kitchen. Uh-huh. She's like grinding her crotch like up against his cock through his pants.
It's incredible.
He's so flustered. And my note is this Duke is definitely a virgin.
Oh.
And then we find out, yeah, for sure, he is a virgin.
Absolutely.
So but then he's like, do you want me? Like, why do you want me? Because he's completely oblivious to the fact that he's a fucking hot nerd.
Yes.
And he's like, is it because of my money? And she is distraught.
She's destroyed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she leaves. She's like, I'll talk to your assistant about it. And he's like, no, wait.
He tries to chase her. He does a slow-mo run out the door trying to chase her. But she's already in her Jeep and she's away.
She's already gone. He's like, please, I'm an idiot. And she's like, no, you're not. Your judgment is right on the money. Goodbye, Byron.
Yeah.
And then leaves. She's like, why would you be interested in somebody like me who didn't even think of something smart?
It says something to the effect of, maybe I'm still the selfish party girl passed out in the back seat while her friend drove us home drunk from a party and ran a red light. Do we ever find out how old Byron is?
No, wait. Yeah, he's 32. So we...
How was this Duke a virgin before his sister died? Is he just an awkward panda?
This man lives in ones and zeros, Melody. He makes it very clear that the only thing that has ever mattered in his life is programming languages.
And he was very close to his sister, so I guess he got, like, the familial emotional relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, nerds fuck. Newsflash.
As somebody who went to college for STEM,
yeah,
some nerds fuck.
What? No.
I knew a lot of nerds.
I thought the STEM kids were like the band kids.
No. At 30 years old,
yeah.
A lot of this Duke is a virgins.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of them.
Okay. All right. Yep. Here we go. So anyway... Now, the next morning, she can't help herself. She goes and she watches him swim because that's what she does every morning on the way to work. He does like a bunch of laps in his pool in a Speedo and she climbs over his fence, sits in his cabana.
She doesn't go over his fence.
I'm positive she does.
No, she thinks about it, but she's like, where is he? Because he didn't come home last night. and he's not swimming laps this morning. And so she's like, I should climb over the fence, but like, he'll see that. Oh. She's like peering through the fence at him. And she does it every fucking morning. And she's, oh boy, she's about to masturbate outside. Yes. She's like touching on her nipples. And she literally, she thinks to herself, I've stayed. No, she actually says out loud.
Out loud.
Nothingness. She says, I've stayed celibate for you. I'll never, ever let another man touch me as long as I live. And we find out that she doesn't. Hour of Kegels every night to give him maximum pleasure if he ever needs her.
If he ever calls upon her.
So then he gets to the office and he has a bouquet of peonies for her. Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, what?
Oh, Byron? Like, I wouldn't even, this is actually what I would get myself were I to go to a florist. And he's like, yeah, I thought roses were too obvious. She's like, well, come into my office. And he's thinking to himself, I stalked her online really hard and she hasn't worked here long. It's impressive that she has an office. And she says, yeah, I changed my life completely 2 years ago and I've just been working so hard ever since.
So I have a question for you, Mel.
Please tell me everything.
At some point very early in this book, she makes some comment about how she like changed her identity 2 years ago.
She changed her name for sure.
That's not easy.
No, but she's had 2 years to do it. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Yeah. And I don't remember. I feel like she says something about her family, like they're like rich or something. But it seems like she doesn't have any contact with them anymore.
No, she doesn't, because she decided her mom raised her to be like the perfect housewife. Yes. And she decided that she doesn't want to do that. She just wants to like party like her aunt and travel and have fun, have a good time. And then she did, quote unquote, murder a girl.
Yes.
By proxy, and changed her whole life because of it.
Yeah, now she's a career woman. All right? Mm-hmm. She's a career woman and a stalker on the
she's
side.
She's a career woman in order.
Yeah, it's true.
So they get into her office, and she has this idea, which honestly sounds super fun, for the Halloween party. They're going to do like a fake crime scene, and they're both like, ha-ha, the nerdy programmers are going to have such a good time. And I guess I'm a nerdy programmer, too, but I was like,
I'm not, and I would love a crime scene.
I would love a crime activity. Scene at a party. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
But then she's like, what if you didn't take any pleasure? And he's like, what? She comes around the desk and he like comes up to her. He has a grip on her hips. He's like, I can't stop thinking about
you. And he's
you.
Got a tent in his pants a mile long.
And she's like, what if you didn't take any pleasure? What if you only gave it to me? You couldn't feel guilty about that, right?
And he says, oh no, I could only be grateful to give you pleasure.
What a great loophole. And then she teaches him how to find a clit.
Yes.
And he touches her clit.
He thumbs her and she's like already on the brink of orgasm just from having his undivided attention, it says. I do remember that quote off the top of the dome. And then
they're making out and then she says to him, tell me what I am.
No, wait. Wait. Before that, it says, what kind of girl drops her panties in the middle of the day and lets you touch her? What kind of girl lets you look under her skirt during a first meeting? I'm so close, desperate, but I need something more. Tell me what I am. Say it, please. And then he says, what do you want to hear? That I'd love to put my big fat cock in this pussy and ride you like a little slut? And then she combusts, okay? She is a mere mortal, everyone, all right?
To be fair, I mean, like, I'm not saying I'm Jane, because I'm not.
She's just a human woman, though.
She's just a human woman. And then he just holds her, and he's so fucking guilty.
Oh, my God.
And, like, he feels God, like, Jane, I can't believe I called
God.
Her a slut.
I don't know why I said that. I don't know what's wrong with me. And then she says, I asked for it. I loved it.
And then she says, I'm your little... And he's like, don't say it.
And he
don't
covers her mouth.
Don't you dare say it. You're a fucking goddess, and I'm a bastard, apparently. Jesus.
Oh. And later on, it says, at the end of that chapter, it says, I'm addicted to Byron DeWitt. My obsession has just plunged to a new depth, and I'm powerless to do anything but explore it.
I didn't even know it was possible.
No!
I didn't even know it was possible. So I literally, I have a note. This dude has the beginning of a 5-year boner because every time he thinks about, so he feels so guilty, but every time he thinks about calling her a slut, oh man,
he gets so hard.
He loves it.
And so now the next day he's like driving around. He hasn't been able to get anything done and he's so mad. Last night, all he did was troll her Instagram. And even though like her photos were professional with just like a hint of sexy, if he had her phone, he would go through and delete all of her photos because nobody should see her like that but
him. Like, at this point, I've started to clue in. I'm like, oh, this man is also deeply unhinged.
Yeah.
Okay.
He all says, right. like,
this is the ride we're on.
I looked at the data, and more than half of her followers are men, and they probably all want to take her out, and, like, nobody gets to touch her but me.
Fuck her. So then he gets to his coffee shop.
Yes.
And he walks in, and she is there, and basically...
A negligee.
And a negligee. And he is watching her get her coffee. And then he sees this other nerd walk up to her and like flirt with her. And he goes stomp. Like,
well, but first.
It's very clear she's not interested.
Yes.
And he's like, because she's mine.
Yeah.
And then he walks over to her and he like shoves that dude.
Yes.
And he's like, mine.
Not gonna happen, buddy.
Yeah, fuck off. And then he's thinking about her at this point. He's watching her as he walks over. And in his head, he says, I think I've developed a terrible obsession with you. I want to fuck you in ways that in my head feel degrading to you. But I sense you need them, acquire them. And I'm aching to give you what you need.
No matter what it entails.
And then he decides in this, by the way, listener, we're on page like 40.
Yes.
Okay.
He says, wait for me on the back patio.
He says, fuck my vow.
Yes.
My dead sister.
All of a sudden, he's just like, other men will have her unless I claim her. That is the new standard. And so he's like, go out to the patio and wait for me. And she's like, anything, okay. And he's so excited that she just does it without a thought. And then he pays off the barista. He hands the barista a couple of $100. He's like, don't let anybody come over there until we come back. And the barista's just like, sure, man.
So a couple of logistics here.
Please
just
tell
I
me
need
everything.
To point them out.
Yeah.
He walks out there and he like snuffles up on her back like a little animal.
Yes.
And then she fucking whips her dress up. She has no idea that he has bribed the barista to keep people off this patio.
No.
She just fucking strips down.
Yes.
To her underwear and heels.
Yes.
And then he...
I mean, to be fair, it's not actually that difficult because all she has to do is take off the negligee. It's just a one piece that goes
Frankly,
onto the ground.
She didn't need to take it off.
No, she really didn't.
Like, that's the funniest thing about this, I think, is like, she didn't have to get naked.
No. She was already basically naked.
He sits in a chair. And she comes and crawls onto his lap and she's grinding on his crotch. And he says, please let me in. And she says, you changed your mind about pleasure? And he says, I need to make you mine, Jane. I won't breathe right until you are.
Yeah.
And then I hated this description.
Uh-oh.
She sits on his cock and it feels incredible. And it's specifically described as the criminally tight fit or the hot pulsating walls to milk me. Milk, milk, milk. Milk.
And it's
and
all
ripple.
In it's all in italics. Milk, 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 and ripple.
Milk. Bringing. I was imagining Frank and Beans chanting from the side. Listener, you will understand eventually when the Goliaths episode comes out. Frank and Beans is from a Lily Maine series, and I was imagining them on the side. Doing their little synchronized bopping, like milk, 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 milk. But to be clear, it did not stop the scene.
Absolutely
from being
not.
Hot as fuck.
Absolutely not. And so after she's sitting there and he says, like, stop, stop, I'll come. And she goes, I want you to come, baby. And she licks into his mouth. And then he is like, oh no. And he like roars and then stands up. And puts her against a wall.
Wait, she also makes a comment, though, about, like, I've known what you needed for so long, or, like, I've wanted this for so long. Something that does not make sense, considering they met 48 hours ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maximum. And
absolutely.
He clocks it, but he is too dickmatized. He is like, I don't care. It's fine. And then, yeah, you're
right. Because she says, I've always been yours. And he's like, yeah.
That's it.
Oh, well.
So, oh, my God. He has her against the wall. And she's like, say everything bad thing
yeah,
in
yeah,
your
yeah.
head.
Yeah.
And he says, maybe that piece of shit wouldn't have hit on you if you didn't leave the house today dressed like an expensive whore.
And she detonates.
Because she's only human.
Yes. You know? No, absolutely.
And he says, did you wear that dress to make me insane? And she's like, yes, I know you come here. I knew you'd see me.
Yeah.
And he says, instead of being alarmed that she knows my usual coffee shop and came here to seduce me, make me jealous, I like it. I love it.
Ugh.
I love that she thinks about me enough to do something so unusual.
I love that she knows my habits.
It gives me permission to find out all of hers.
I'm going to know every single one, so help me God.
And then he says, yeah, you came here in the middle of the day hoping for a nice hard bang, didn't you? Couldn't even wait to get your dick teased panties off, could you? Such a horny little brat.
And she detonates. Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, also, I just need everybody to know this part. In between those two sentences, it does say, I lick up the side of her face. Growling into her hair.
And then, so once she comes, he's still dick deep inside of her. And then he says, you're going to, by the way, all of this is raw. There's no condom involved.
No.
Obviously.
And he hasn't thought about it until right about now.
Yeah. And he says, you're going to go back to your office with sticky thighs and messy hair. Everyone's going to know you spent your lunch break with your legs open. And then he says, my dirty girl loves it, likes it raw. You love getting it bareback in that pretty fuckhole, don't you?
But before he says that part, it says, I heave into her ear, my balls spasming, sending hot liquid up the trunk of my cock. I don't know about trunk of my cock. I don't know.
Okay, there were a couple of phrases in this book that every single time, buns. Butts were almost exclusively described as buns.
Buns, yeah. You didn't like that?
I did not like that.
Interesting. You love getting it bareback in that pretty fuckhole, don't you? Oh my God.
Pretty fuckhole. This man went from nerdy tech nerd hot virgin to just horny, hot, kinky, degrading fuck machine.
So after she milks him dry, okay, because
milk,
she did.
Milk.
It says, mine, I say on a shudder, pressing our foreheads together. And then she says, he says, mine again. And then she says, yes. She nods her head, bumping my chin. Now you know. Pardon me, ma'am.
And then she gives him a smooch and disappears.
Yeah, she fucks off immediately.
So, at this point, this is when I messaged my special friend.
Okay, yes.
And I gave him the update of all the way up to here. And I was like, I don't even know what to do with myself, but like, man, this dude is great at dirty talking.
Yeah.
And he said to me, well, yeah, his sister taught him.
No.
Before she died.
No.
And I was like, that's so fucked up. And no. I am laughing so hard, I'm crying.
This isn't that movie. What's that movie that we watched? That was Aaron and I watched forever ago. Fuck.
The mountain climber. Mm-hmm.
And
the mountain climber should have been you. Nope.
God
seduced. Nope.
Damn it.
Sponsored by something.
Can't remember.
I know what movie. I know exactly what
movie. Of course
you're
you do.
About.
Why can't I think of the name?
Melody?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever told you this. I watched that movie annually since that episode. At least once a year.
It's so good. It's so bad good.
Why do I never know the name?
I know.
I have to look for it in my voodoo every single time.
God damn it. I'm just going to Google it really quick.
Please do.
Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to
so
focus.
So then it's the next day, and she's been avoiding all of his phone calls because she just deuced out of there, and she's avoiding him because she's thinking, is it too much to hope that I'm having a positive effect on Byron and that I'm nudging him back toward the living where he belongs. Mm. I wanted to show him the light, but I think I'm dragging him into the darkness with me.
Yes.
Making him call me names, begging him to shame me like I deserve. Oh, boy. And then he shows up because she's not answering his phone calls.
Yeah, she's like, I have to stay away from him now because I'm just bringing him into the dark. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, guess what?
Yep. And so he's like, we need to talk. And so they go outside and he's like, why haven't you been answering my calls? Did I not? Was it not good for you yesterday?
Oh, my God.
And she's like, it was amazing. It was heaven. And he's like, it was heaven for me, too. I need you. I need back in that fuckhole.
Yes.
And then he pulls away and he's like, but first we're going to go get lunch.
And she's like, killing me softly. Oh, thank God.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't Google it. I just looked in our Patreon collection. All three parts of the recap are there. Okay. Yeah. And so she's like, lunch? No, that's not what you do with dirty sluts. And he's like, yeah, I know.
That's basically word for word.
No, truly. And he's like, yeah, I know. I need to show you that you're a princess in the streets and a slut in the sheets. So we're going to go to a restaurant and I'm going to feed you real good. And I'm going to learn all about you. I want to know everything about you. You need to tell me everything. And she's like, I can never tell him anything. I can never tell him everything. He can never really know me.
Also, to be clear, he will not let her sit on her own. She has to sit on his lap.
Yes.
I loved it.
Loved it.
And she's sitting on his lap and he's like, so she tells him, she's like, he wants to give me legitimacy. I can't have legitimacy. I don't deserve it. I murdered his sister.
Right.
And so she's like, I don't want anything serious. And he's like, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't lie to me. You show up in my reg. I don't know how he did not put the fucking clues together this point. But he's like, don't lie to me, Jane. You show up in my coffee shop to fuck me up. You kiss me like you'd rather die than stop for breath. And she's like,
listen to what you're saying.
I showed up in your neighborhood to make you crazy, make you need me. Do you think that's normal?
And he says, no, probably not.
And then he says, is it healthy that I edged myself all night thinking of you, stroking right until I couldn't take any more than stopping, refusing to come unless it's in your sweet little pussy? Is it healthy that I offered free software to your company so I can install spyware on your computer to watch what you're doing and who you're speaking with?
I sent the proposal this morning.
You fucked me up and made me crazy. Now you're going to live with the consequences.
Dizziness rocks me. Is this really happening? He's stalking me now.
And then she says, listen to me. You can still get out of this without being ruined. And he's like, no.
No, too late.
I can't. I'm already ruined. And I like it.
So then he says, I'm fine with doing that. Even though he asks, like, specifically, is it just a kink or do you need it for like an unhealthy reason? And she's like, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. There's definitely an unhealthy reason, but I will never, ever tell you in my whole life. So just get ready for that. And his whole thing is before I like fuck you again, I want to make sure you know I respect you. So they're going back and forth and
I was laughing so hard because at one point he's like, I just need you to know you're my princess.
Yes.
And she says, but I'm not a princess. And in her head, she thinks,
I'm a murderer. And then he says, you're my princess, the sweetest, most beautiful one there is. Oh, my gosh. And I need to know you. I need to fucking consume you.
And then she gives him her history. She tells him about, like, the housewife stuff, how she was raised, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, until one bad decision.
One.
And he's like, you don't have to tell me your decision until you're ready. But I'm sure your bad decision has nothing to do with how we make love. And she's like,
ooh, crickets.
And then he tells her to trust him with the truth. And she's like, I can't do that. I only want physical. I don't want anything serious with you. I don't want to be your girlfriend. I'm not interested in that. So call me if you're okay with just a physical relationship. And then she leaves.
And then she's like, he won't call me. Now it's the middle of the night and he's Twisty McTwisterson in that bed. Okay. He's sweating over nothing.
He's horny.
His cock stand is just making him levitate off that bed, basically. Mm-hmm. And he realizes it's 2:14 a.m. And so he finally calls her. And when she answers the phone.
There's just heavy breathing on the other end.
Yeah. He says, Jane. And then all she says is, you need me? And he's like, yes, I do.
By the way.
Oh, my God.
He was so horny after all of this, after she left him at lunch.
Yes.
That he humps the couch until he comes because it's not masturbating.
And you can imagine it's her. So then he says, God, yes, I can't live like this. And then a sob catches on the other end of the line. You need me exactly as I am. And then finally.
And then his security system goes off.
His alarm goes off.
He's like, wait, don't come over yet.
It might not be safe.
And she's like,
don't worry. It's me. There's no danger here, she says. And he agrees somehow. He knows. He was like, she was sitting out there in the rain outside of my house, hoping that I would call her.
And he suddenly, it clicks that she's in his foyer. And he's like, oh, my God, she's been stalking me from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then he loves it.
He's like, there's no way that she only wants something physical if she's stalking me. But for now, we'll play her game. And then he, in the foyer, he goes up to her and he grabs the hair.
Oh, my God.
Her hair in his fist. And he says, did you bring me a wet pussy? And she's like, yes.
Yeah.
And he says, good. And then he says, Jesus Christ, you're going to make a mess.
Oh, my
God. And then spreads, because she's on her knees now, spreads her legs with his foot.
That
says,
horny thing is going to drip all over my floor, isn't it? And she says, sorry.
And he says, don't be. You can't help what you are. Just a little girl who shows up after hours hoping a man will use her. I bet that mouth is starved for the taste of cock.
Oh, my God.
And then he face fucks her.
Yes.
He's never had a blowjob before.
It's he says in his inner monologue, it says, my God, is this perfect girl really going to suck on it? Yes.
And then he's face fucking her and he says to her, were you sitting out in the dark hoping I'd bring your horny ass inside and put you on your knees?
Mm-hmm.
Sir, she is so into it. He's like, suck my balls. And she does. And then he says to her, that's the kind of thing you can only tell a slut to do.
And she says, yes, that's what I am. Use me. Oh, don't worry. You're going to get used, he says.
Then he puts her into doggy on the floor.
Yes.
Time
to get what you came for, you hot little tramp.
Uh-huh. And he says, you're a little homewrecker. Like, you're a hole so fucking tight, it's built to break vows.
Incredible. Incredible.
The foyer's the best you can hope for.
Oh, my God.
It?
Oh, my God.
Girls,
I can't
like, you don't get brought to bed, huh? You get banged where you stand. Fast, filthy, dirty shit on your knees in the fucking foyer.
Yes, she says. Oh, God, don't stop, Byron, please.
And then he's fucking her so hard that they are flat ironed on the foyer floor. And he says,
go ahead. Come on it, slut.
And he's fucking her so hard that they're squeaking.
Oh, my God.
And then he needs to take care of her after they both come like freight trains. And he like snuggles her up in his lap. And she's like,
she does not like it. Now she's like, no.
Screaming at me to care for Jane. And he says, sweet girl, my beautiful girl, you're amazing, perfect. And she's like, no, I don't need you to do this.
He says, I need it.
I need it.
And then she can't argue with that. If he needs something, she has to give it to him.
He takes her up. They sleep in the same bed.
Yeah.
And wake up the next morning.
My God.
She's like, maybe I can just, you know, keep my secret forever. Maybe I just never need to tell him.
Whoa. The only reason she says that is because when they wake up, he says, you live here now. Tell me exactly where.
No, not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. She's what? Just sitting there thinking. He's still asleep, fucking koala'd on her. And she's like, maybe I can just, keep my secret forever. We'll just be together and unhinged.
Oh, my God.
And, he didn't run when he found out I was stalking him.
No.
So,
he kind of loved
it. He's stalking me, too.
And he's praising me and he's caring for me. And then when he wakes up, he says, you feel that, don't you, Jane? She's like, feel what? He kisses my shoulder. That you're supposed to wake up here every day.
She's and then she tells him,
yeah,
Byron, I was outside your house last night. It was far from the first time. You can't just pretend that's normal. And he says, you want me to say it out loud?
Oh, God.
Get it out in the open? Fine. You've been stalking me. Good.
Keep on
doing it. And she's like, you can't mean that. And he's like, I do mean it. As long as you don't mind me stalking you back. I want to know where you are and who you're with at all times. I want you here in my bed 7 nights a week. And the next time I call you and you don't answer the phone, understand that I'm on my way.
That I'll find you. And she says, no, you don't have to be like me, Byron. And he says, too late, Jane. Now we have a new rule. And she says, new rule? He says, yeah, that's right. His mouth finds my neck, nuzzling the sensitive skin beneath my ear. You want what we had last night? You need it? Yes? Then you'll get it, he murmurs, reaching down to take hold of his erection, tucking the tip inside my entrance. I suck in a breath and hold it, whining in my throat like a beggar when he doesn't push any deeper. But for every time I fuck you like a high-class escort, Jane, I'm going to make love to you. And then panic descends. And he says, you're getting my love. He exhales thickly.
So then while he's fucking her, this is when he says, give me your address.
Yeah, tell me your address.
I want you to give it me willingly. And she's like, why? And he's like, so I can send somebody to pack up all your shit because you live here now.
Yes.
And she's like, he's like, you've climbed inside of me and you're not getting out. Do you understand? And she's like, but I have to. And he's like, whatever is damaged, we're going to fix it or we won't. We'll be damaged together.
I need you however I can have you. Just open your legs for me, you gorgeous girl. Tell me. Okay, this was the other one that really got me. Tell me this sweet young cunt is mine. Her young cunt is a little much for me. He says it at least twice. I'm going to Google it. Hold on.
I've been reading so much fucking Silver Fox shit where,
okay,
where
fair.
The age turns into, it didn't bother me in the slightest.
It's part of the kink.
Yeah, yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
Three times. He talks about her sweet young cunt, her pretty young cunt, and her sweet young cunt. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. Okay. What happens after he demands she moves in? She goes to work, right?
While they're making love.
Oh, God.
Because it's not fucking.
Blech.
I'm making love.
Right.
He's, telling her, all of these things, and she starts crying. Because he's, sweet, beautiful girl, you're so complicated. And it's, it's so sweet. And, he did a really good job in that specific scene of both doing the degradation, humiliation.
Yes.
But also sweet and loving.
Yeah. And, building you back up.
So, as somebody who participates in kink,
who enjoys
a little kinky kink,
sure,
one of my biggest pet peeves about kink in romance novels is these, we'll say heroes, but it's not always heroes.
Yeah,
I find that there's less sapphic or non-binary or queer on that end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Kinky romance,
yeah,
very sad. But one of my biggest pet peeves is when there's no nuance to the degradation and humiliation kink.
Okay.
And it's so fucking annoying. Because, I've read
some
books.
When it's just one note?
Well, it's one note, and it's also, it's as if it can't be, sweet, you know?
Okay.
I don't know, I just find, kink in general in a lot of romance is very one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I did like about this book is that it didn't feel that way.
No, definitely not. And I really liked it because a lot of times if there is any sort of positive aftercare or affirmative aftercare, it's usually not as creative as the dirty talk, or like it's not as
the aftercare in this book was incredible.
So I'll read you one section. So after this sweet, complicated girl, he says, "You can trust me, I've got you." I sob, tears are starting to roll down my temples. And then it says, "There we go." He breathes into my ear. "You're getting wetter. You want it just like this. With me telling you I'd die for you. That you're smart and driven and funny and sexy. And I fucking need you. Need you in my life. Now. Constantly." And then she says, "No, please don't make me come like this." And he says, "You will. You're going to cream up my dick, Jane. You're going to drench it." And she says, "Like a slut." And he says, "No. Like a perfect angel, my perfect angel."
Oh my God.
Like, that was such a necessary part of this book. You know, it adds so much dimension, not only to the sexual part of the storyline, but also the emotional arc. Yeah, so I completely agree with you. I really like when one of the partners realizes that even if you like something, you might still need to be built up after it, you know?
Yes. And in general, we're talking about like kink in general, and you just brought up aftercare. I find a lot of books lacking very much.
Very much.
In aftercare.
Yeah.
Like it is not as if it is this like intense critical necessity.
Right.
Because like if you participate in kink, there's just got to be some flavor of aftercare.
Yeah.
Like dom drop, sub drop, all of that kind of stuff. It's no fucking joke.
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the things that I also really liked, because I did clock this when this first popped up in the book, and I was really hoping that this would be, addressed. And so I was glad that it was. And it was very quickly where she's using kink in a deeply unhealthy way.
Absolutely.
And I was very, and I see that a lot.
Yeah.
In books. And it's, sometimes, quite often, it's just not addressed.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, I fucking hate that. That is not safe, sane, or consensual.
No.
That's not rack. That's not, right. Like, there's no, this is not, I don't like that at all. There is a disconnect here. And like, I understand that it's fiction. I get it.
I know.
Okay. Like, I get it. We read lots of stuff. But like, I mean, hell, I fucking read stuff that, and I enjoy the hell out of stuff that I'm like, this is deeply unhealthy kink.
Oh, yeah.
BDSM. This is fucked up. And I love it.
Yeah.
But it's really nice when.
When you get depictions like this, because not only does he ask her up front, do you need this in an unhealthy way or do you need it because it's just funsies? She's honest with him. And then he gives her space to, you know, come out and tell him what's going on. And she doesn't do that until she's sort of backed into a corner. But even then, he still makes sure to, I think that's one of the reasons that it's so important, not only to him, but also to the story, that he makes the distinction between this is how we act when we fuck. And then for the rest of the time and like other times we have sex different ways, I'm going to show you exactly what you mean to me. And it's not the game that the other thing is. You know, he makes it very clear that like this is playtime because I know you like it. But yeah. He's really good at communicating what she actually means to him every other time. And then they have a conversation toward the end when she finally, you know, ends up telling him all and they're on the same page. And he's like, now that you know how I feel, you don't need any of this degradation and all of that. And she says, well, but like, we could just do it because it's fun.
I loved that.
Same. She's like, I mean, we can still do it because it makes me come like a fountain, you know? And I don't think that's going to change at all. And he's like, yeah. Good point. Let's do that. Okay, so now the next chapter opens up with him saying, being Jane's boyfriend came with a lot of problems. Like, I couldn't concentrate on anything, and I'm always checking my tracker app.
He has a tracking app and he's constantly looking at it. So he realizes he's like, he looks at his tracking app while he's at work and he realizes she's not at her. Oh, by the way, This billionaire asshole decided that her being across town was too far, so he bought the bottom building floor of the building across the street to move her event planning company into so that she was closer. And then, listener, at the end of the book, we find out in the epilogue that he decided that was too far. Uh-huh. And so he bought the bottom floor of his building and moved the company in there. And then he put in a private elevator break room attached to his office. They have a fuck den at work.
It's incredible. If you are a billionaire, you better be doing shit like that. You know what I mean?
Honestly, this is one of those situations where, like, if I won the lotto, I wouldn't necessarily say anything, but there'd be signs. And one of those things would be a private elevator and a fuck den in my office.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So he realizes that she's left work and he's, like, high alert about it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, she did tell me, like, after I got my face out of her cunt this morning, that she needed to pick up a costume today.
Well, and he's like, absolutely not. I have no idea what she's choosing for us. Yeah. And there's no fucking way that I'm letting her go as a sexy anything.
Yeah, she can't be sexy. She can only be sexy for me. But he also fixes this.
He does.
He fixes this hard. Yeah. So he goes to the costume shop and he's like, tell me what you were going to be. She was like, I was going to be Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman. And he was like, you were going to be a sex worker? And she's like, yeah, because I need to remind you of what I am and who I am and what level I am and stuff. And he's like, no, you're going to be a princess. And so he, like, carries her to the dressing room, tells the worker to get a princess dress or whatever. And then when he's in there, he's like, you're not going to be
the most expensive one they have.
Oh, yeah. It has to be the most expensive. I did love that it was used on an extra in A Knight's Tale, the movie. That's a hilarious detail. Hilarious.
Loved it.
Also, all the dresses in there were fantastic. They were a bit like neon, but that's fine. Anyway, sorry. So
I'm going to be honest. I don't remember that movie at all. I have no idea what the reference was.
Oh, God. That needs to be a watch party.
A watch party? I'm okay with that.
Needs to be a watch party. Okay. So anyway, so he goes in there and he's like, P.S., this is not about you dressing provocatively any other time. I don't want to change you. I like the way you dress. This is just about showing you and showing everyone else who you are to me.
I want you to feel the way I see you.
Yes.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Then he goes as Prince Charming.
By the way, very importantly, I skipped a little thing. As he's walking into this costume.
Yes, in her car.
Past her car. And in the back seat. I glance into the back seat as I pass, finding a collection of belongings I thought I'd misplaced. A blue necktie, a comb, one of my dress shirts.
Oh my God.
I'm not jarred or surprised. Why would I be? I'm living with my stalker. She's my girlfriend. And I fucking love it. I wonder what she'll steal next.
And then he's like, why are you so... As a matter of fact, I need to start bringing some of her shit to my office. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. So funny.
So now it's Halloween party time. No.
Whoa.
No. Are we butt-fucking before then?
Is that what we're doing? Whoa. Butt-fucking is epilogue.
That's the epilogue.
No. They are in the fucking place. She's trying on the dress.
Yeah.
And she's looking at the thing. And then he says to her, can change the packaging and you'll still be the girl I'm in love with. But yeah, this is how I think of you, like a princess. And she says, did you just say you love me? And
he
says, of course I love you, Jane. I love everything about you. I know enough to be sure I want you for my wife.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And then she's like, what? And he's like, be my wife or I'll die. Say you'll marry me. Byron, you need to think about this. You're being impulsive. If I could rip my heart out and show you how hard it beats for you, I would do that. But I only have this. And then he fucks her in that dressing room.
Yeah.
And he says to her,
I want to track you and eat you and worship you and fuck you for the rest of my life. Marrying me just makes it legal. Say yes.
He says, You'll sit outside in the rain to stalk me. Now you'll damn well walk down an aisle for me.
You'll wear my ring on your finger and never take it off. And she's like, yes, I'll wear your ring and be my wife and be your wife. I'll make you so happy. I'll follow you anywhere. I'll never leave your side. Never. I love you. I love you. I love you. And then that makes him come because it's a love, love come now.
I mean, he's only human.
No,
you
agreed.
Know?
Agreed. And the end of the chapter is, and I vow in that moment, nothing will ever separate me from Jane. This girl who has brought me out of a numb existence, made me enjoy life again, gave me love, gave me a home. Her, she's my home, my world, a world that nothing can bring crashing down. Now it's Halloween party time.
Now it's Halloween. And I was like, bah, bah, bah,
bah.
Bah, 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 bah.
Yeah.
But to be clear, not a single moment. I was like, the minute he finds out about this, he's not going to have
an issue. He's going to be fine with it.
He's literally like, no.
And he goes a step farther than being fine with it. Basically, they're at this party and then they finally go over to like the fortune teller's area. And the fortune teller gets real fucking creepy. She's going to do a tarot card reading. And then she just like locks eyes with Byron. And she's like, I'm getting weird. Woozical stuff that's happening.
We should make a separate meeting so that I can tell you this in private.
And he's like, nah, tell me right here in front of my girl.
And then the fortune teller, this was so, Jane, this is the most unhinged thing that you've done this entire book, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Because the fortune teller looks at her and she's like, the fortune teller is like, you lost a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And in a tragic accident. And then she looks at Jane and says, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, she wasn't. And Jane's like, yes. Yes, I was.
No.
And then spills the beans immediately sitting on his lap at this Halloween work party.
Yes.
And then before even letting him have a thought or say anything, because he's just in shock, understandably.
Yeah.
She gets up and sprints out of this fucking
as fast
Halloween
as she
party.
Can. And then she runs into the road. She sees some headlights and she thinks to herself, yeah,
I deserve this. And all I could think was, you don't think that it would be more traumatizing for him to now not only lose his sister, but then find out you were there, a part of the accident, and then watch you
get hit by a Jeep
or
whatever?
Car.
So Oh my God.
The thing stops just in time and he goes up and grabs her out of the road. And he says, he goes and like sits with her in the grass and he's holding her. And he says, you're going to let me hold you as long as I want. I almost just lost the love of my life. And she's like, what are you talking about?
You can't still love me. You can't.
You have to hate me. I killed your sister.
Yes.
And he says, I could never hate you, not for a single second. And this was unhinged of him.
Sure.
I love you. I love you so much I can't imagine how I made it through the years before we met. To think you could have died that night too. Of course I fell in love with the girl who would change her whole life to honor another's. Of course I fell in love with the girl who couldn't help but track a man down, bring light and color back into his life because her heart is so huge and perfect, so full of empathy and compassion. Jane, I love you so much.
Oh my God, we forgot to tell listener a really important detail. And that is that the reason she saw him at all is that she showed up to his sister's funeral and watched from the fucking bushes and fell in love with him while he was...
That's the saddest, brokenest man I've ever seen in my life.
That's the hottest Sebastian.
And it's all my fault that he is this way.
Nothing's made me hornier ever.
And then she came on that hill and was like, this man's mine.
He says, there's nothing that will ever change that. I'm sorry for what we went through to find each other, but the end result is permanent. You're mine. You're always going to be mine. And then she says, and you're always going to be mine? And he says, forever and always, until the day I die.
And then he says, I'm taking my princess home now. Not my whore, not my slut. The perfect princess I'm going to make my wife.
Uh-huh. And then she says, there's no rule that says I can't be all of those things, right? And he's like, Jane, no more of that, of what we've been doing. And she's like, not even once in a while?
Yeah. And he's like, I will only do that if you agree and acknowledge that I love you to the ends of the earth. And she's like, you love me.
Yeah, done.
To the ends of the earth. And then he takes her into the alley and he says to her, okay, slut, do what you do best and take this cock.
Yes. It's incredible. Okay. So listen, the epilogue is 3 years later and she says to him, you need to do 100 laps in the pool and then we can do anal.
Hang on. They also, they have arguments about who's more fanatical about their spouse's whereabouts.
Yes.
They're like, I'm more obsessed. No, I'm more obsessed. And then they just show up places. They're like, I'm more obsessed. Like, friends, you are made for each other.
One of my favorite parts of this epilogue.
They decided they will never have children because they are too obsessed with each other to ever bring somebody else in and have them be as important as the other person.
Best decision for these people ever.
This might be one of my most favorite epilogues simply because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were like, we really thought about it and we thought about like timeline or whatever. And then we were like, no, we really just need to be us forever.
It's 3 years in and we're still just as obsessed with each other. They stalk each other.
Yeah.
And even now, sometimes they'll be like close up, close to each other, snuggled up. And she'll be like, I'm just a little overwhelmed. You're very close and I'm used to being so far away.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And then he just like leaves and she can just watch him.
Uh-huh.
Peering around corners like a weird little weirdo.
He loves feeling her eyeballs on him every morning while he swims still.
Uh-huh.
So she comes out and she's like, listen, bud, let me watch you do 100 laps in that pool and then you can fuck this ass. And he's like, and the reason, tell them, Sabrina.
The first and last time that they did anal was a couple of months ago. And he came home from a 3-day trip and turned into a crazed fucking animal and fucked her so hard on the floor that she had rug burn and only used spit for lube and just plowed her asshole. And then he felt so guilty after
as
it, he sent her flowers 3 times a day at work for a month.
And she
wasn't even upset about it. The reason she was unhappy about the situation is because she didn't like how guilty he felt.
Yeah.
She loved being used for his pleasure like that.
Even though it hurt like crazy.
Oh man, she was like, give me that painol. I don't like your guilt.
That would be painful. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So anyway. Then he fucks her on that lawn chair.
Oh, my God.
And it's great.
He loves it. She brought out lube. They are all prepared.
Yeah.
And then after they both come, they snuggle up and they go take a nap on this lounger. And he says to her, I love you to the point of madness. And I've never heard a more true statement in my life.
Seriously. Oh, my God.
This was so good.
So good. So bonkers.
It was bonkers as the how is this the bonkers one when we literally read one where he has a jack-o'-lantern for a head?
I know. No, the one where one of them is planning a Halloween party is the most bonkers one. Crazy.
What? How was neon green slime cum that tastes like cinnamon?
Yeah.
Not the crazy thing.
I ask you. Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, I'll be reading. I've heard Jessa Kane's name.
Yeah,
I know that author name, and I don't know. I didn't look into it because, like I said, I read it sometime in the last 24 hours, mm-hmm. And so like I didn't look up the author. I have no idea if I've read any of her stuff. This isn't gonna be the last. I can tell you that.
No, for sure not. All right, Sabrina. What's your lady love?
What's your lady love?
Too late.
Damn it. All right, so my lady love is, some of you may know, I am recently a little obsessed with a little logic game called Sudoku.
Uh-huh.
My lady love is two YouTubers. One is Cracking the Cryptic, and one is Rangsk.
Yeah?
R-A-N-G-S-K. And I have just been having them playing in the background a lot while I've been, like, doing things that I don't have to be super paying attention to and learning all sorts of strategies. And I just feel like a little bad little bitch.
Yeah.
Every time I finish a hard Sudoku.
Amazing.
Because I'm a hot genius.
I love it.
All right. What's your lady love, girlfriend?
My lady love is roasting pumpkin seeds. Man, we did a jack-o'-lantern this year, okay? And we don't always do it, especially like when the kids were younger. I could not be fucked to like even to think about it. No.
I've carved a pumpkin with a child one time.
Oh, God.
My life,
terrifying.
And I said never again.
Terrifying experience. And so anyway, we decided to do it this year, and I had a great time with them, and they were really my little squeamish indoor cats. I open up this fucking pumpkin, and Valor immediately decides that it smells bad. And, like, that's the kiss of death for a Valor. She will not engage anymore if something smells bad to her. And then Ember tried to put his little hand in. He was like, oh, no, it feels bleh. And so I literally did all of it. I did all of the gut peeling. I did all of the everything.
So when you say cats, you're talking about your children.
Yeah, my indoor cats.
Oh.
Valor is like, Valor will be an outdoor cat.
When the fuck did you get a cat?
Never. Michael's allergic.
I know.
Yeah. Okay, I've just decided to torture my spouse. It's fine. No. So Valor, like, is the most outdoor cat of my family, other than me. I am the alley cat.
To be fair, of everybody, you're the feral one.
Yes. Yeah. I am the down and dirty alley cat that cannot be caged. But Valor, like, will Valor will, like, come and, like, do dirt stuff with me, right? And that's great. But God damn it, these two. And then afterwards, I was like, I'm going to take my spoils and I'm going to turn them into a snack, everybody. And I roasted those puppies up. Ooh, they were the best. They were just the best snack over, like, a week.
How do you get the seeds away from the guts?
Boy, do you schmook them out. You take your hand and you schmook them. You squeeze them, and then they go out of there, and then you put them in a colander, and you make sure all of you wash them, and you make sure all the pumpkin guts are gone. It's a lot of manual work. All right. Hey, everybody. Keep being a badass.
And love yourself as much as you love meeting the one person out there in the world made for you.
I mean, all right. Bye.
Bye.
We love to hear what you think about all the books we recap. So go comment on our social media or get into the Discord and tell us everything. And our DMs are open, like very open. Okay, we'll be back next week when we recap Impromptu Match by Lily Maine. It's an MM monster romance set in an underground wrestling league, and it's so delicious. Heaving Bosoms is produced by us, Melody Carlisle and Sabrina Bradley. Editing is done by me, Melody Carlisle. Our theme music is by the incredible singer-songwriter Brittany Fonts, and our art is by the ultra-talented author Kate Pryor. If you like our show, remember to follow us on your favorite podcast app, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. That one small action is a huge way to help the show. If you want to get in touch with us for advertising inquiries or anything else, you can email us at heavingbosomspodcast@gmail.com. If you want more of us, visit patreon.com/heavingbosomspodcast. You can also find us on Instagram at heavingbosoms, on TikTok at heaving_bosoms, and in our Facebook group, the Heaving Bosoms Geriatric Friendship Cult. If we don't chat before then, see you Monday.